You have Bibles. Turn me to Acts 23rd chapter. We're going to start at the 11th verse. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor sleep till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore, ye with the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though he would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of the lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for we have a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who have something to say unto thee." This is the topic on today. God will take care of you.
Amen.
God will take care of you. We're in a time now that I believe, especially in this country, the United States of America, in what we call a golden age for the church. And what I mean by that is this. When you look to the Word of God, the Bible, it's hard to find any period in the Bible where the believers are not being persecuted, not being tormented, or not being killed. Throughout the Bible, you find these things happening. And if you read the book of Revelation, and you read some of the things that Christ Jesus our Lord said will become us, or befall us, in the latter days before he returns, we find that once again, that the body of Christ will be persecuted. But right now, we're not seeing the things now that they went through during the time of Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not seeing the things spoken of right now on a global scale like what is spoken of in the book of Revelation, in the book of Matthew 24 and 25 and 26, where it speaks of the return of Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not seeing those things on a global scale now, but on a microcosm, on a smaller scale, you do see these things happening, but not globally. But the Bible told us that these things would happen. So right now, we're in a time now where I say it's the golden age because we have the freedoms to go out and to share the gospel. We have the freedom on our jobs, some places, to lift up the name of Christ Jesus. We have the freedom to go on the airways, whether it's the radio or television, and speak about the goodness of the Lord and to cry out against sin. We have those freedoms. But if we believe the word of God, these things will change. There are some that believe in what they call amillennialists. Amillennialists believe that things will continue going until we come to a 1,000-year period, and it's not going to really be a time of a persecution, but a time we're going to perfect things along the way and things get better as we approach and come to the time of Christ Jesus our Lord. Then there are those that believe in premillennialism, meaning that before Christ Jesus returns, that there, after his return, after he wraps up the church, that the body of Christ, those who are left, or those who are left behind, are going to suffer severe persecution here on the earth. Then there are the post-millennialists. And the post meaning that Christ comes back in the midst of the turn, and we, the body of Christ, we go through these trials and these things here on earth. Whichever position you may take, the Bible tells us to let us know that there's going to come a challenge for us in the body of Christ. And as I said, this being the golden age, then we that are know the Lord Jesus, we that are saved, we should be taking every opportunity we have now to proclaim the name of Jesus. If you can't declare the name of Jesus now to your friends in school, if you can't declare the name of Jesus now to people on your job, if you can't declare the name of Jesus now to people in your community, when will you be able to? One of the reasons why a lot of us don't declare the name is because some of us like fame. We want our friends to think well of us. Our friends don't know the Lord Jesus. Our friends don't talk about the Lord Jesus, but we don't talk to them about Jesus because we don't want to lose that friendship. There are some that don't talk about the Lord because they're afraid of what the consequences may be. They feel that if I talk about Jesus on my job, they will fire me. So I'm going to just keep my mouth shut and not mention about the Lord. There are some that feel that if I mention the name of Jesus, that somehow or another could bring jeopardy to my life. And so because of that reason, I will not talk about the Lord Jesus. And there are some that say, you know, my home is, they're not believers, and I don't want to cause any confusion in my home. So if I have children who don't believe in Jesus, I'm not going to tell them why I believe in Jesus. Or if I have relatives that may be of another religion or another faith, so that it's not to cause any confusion amongst them, then I'm not going to talk about Jesus. As I said, this is a golden age that we're living in now. A lot of the reasons why we don't talk about Jesus now is because the things that we have imagined in our own minds and heads. It's not because of some threat that's there before us, but it's something we've told ourselves. And the sad thing about that is this. So when I think about countries that I've visited and people are putting their lives on the line for the cause of Christ, and we can't mention the name of Jesus when our lives are not being threatened. We can't talk about Jesus in the classroom. We don't talk about Jesus to our friends. We don't tell them who Jesus is, and we know they are lost. We know they are not saved. We know they have not accepted Jesus, Lord and Savior, but yet we go along like everything is okay and everything is fine. Want me to tell you, everything is not okay and everything is not fine. There comes a time as a believer in Christ Jesus that you have got to say, for God I live, and for God I'll die. How many of you in here have friends that are not saved? How many of those friends have you told about the Lord Jesus? How many have family members that are not saved? How many have told those family members about the Lord Jesus? How many of you work on jobs and everybody on that job isn't saved? And how many of you have told those unsaved people on your job about the Lord Jesus? This is the time when we need to be very serious about what we do for the Lord. We don't fully understand what's going on, and God has given us great opportunities to be witnesses for Him. As I was saying this morning during our Bible study session, the reason why opposition comes your way, the reason why adversity comes your way, I believe the Bible teaches, is because God wants to give you an opportunity to magnify Him so that He can bless you. In the book of Romans, 8th chapter says this, all things work together for the good to those that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. If everything works together for my good, then why do I look at this opposition as being something that's to my bad? It's going to harm me. It's going to hurt me. Everything the Bible said for a child of God works together for your good. So the reason why you have friends that are not saved, God placed those friends in your life that are not saved because God wants you to be a witness to them. The reason why there are family members in your life that are not saved, because God wants you to be a witness to those family members that let them know who Jesus is. The reason why God gave you that job, because God knows that you are the best person suited to witness and share with them who Jesus is. But a lot of us say, no, Pastor, we'll call you when we need to share with somebody. Pastor, we'll call you. You must understand that God has equipped us where we are to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Here in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was doing this, what I was talking about. Paul was one who persecuted the church at one time. Paul was there, they said, when Stephen was stoned to death, Paul was stood there holding the cloak of the people that stoned Stephen, a righteous man of God, to death. Paul, the Bible said, wreaked havoc with the church until he had a Damascus Road experience. And on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus spoke to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? There are folks that are doing things wrong and don't know why what they're doing is wrong. And the only way they will know is that you open your mouth and tell them.
Amen. That's right.
There are a lot of friends in your school talking about, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in Buddhism. I believe in Hinduism. Why? Because you haven't opened your mouth to tell them the truth about who God is. Folks on your jaw say, I don't believe in Jesus. Why? Because you never opened your mouth to tell them the truth about who Jesus is. See, the Bible lets us to know that the word will not return void. When you speak the word of God, it's going to accomplish the purpose that God intended for it. But it will never happen as long as you keep your mouth shut and say, I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. Without realizing that's why you have that job. That's why you're born to the family you were born into. That's why you got married to the person you got married to. That's why you go to the school you attend. Because God said, I've placed those people around you so that you can be a witness for me and share with me. But a lot of us, we don't feel comfortable enough. We don't feel strong enough. We don't think that we can do it. That's what Paul was. Paul, God gave Paul a Damascus Road experience. And when God gave him that experience, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul said, who are thou, Lord, that I persecuted? She had to tell him who he was. See, you don't know which way to go, what to do, if you don't know Jesus. Paul didn't know what he was doing. He was harmed, doing more harm to the will of God than helping the will of God. Paul thought that I'm a righteous man, I'm zealous for the things of God. But the things Paul was doing was going totally contrary to what God's will was for mankind's life. So Paul had the Damascus Road experience. Paul, when he came to the truth and realized who Christ Jesus is, Paul said, now, just as much as I persecuted the church, I'm now going to help the church. See, how many of you in here was once unsaved?
Amen.
When you come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord, your life should turn just like Paul did. Well, yes, you are there enjoying your friends lying and telling bad jokes and making mockery of the name of God. Yet one time you was out there, you was with them, you were partners with them. You were just like Paul. You were bringing persecution to the church. You made fun of the church. You don't tell them about the church. You made fun, you mocked the church. But then when you had that Damascus Road experience, when you came to know the Lord Jesus, your life should have changed. Well, no longer do you have pleasure in making mockery of the church, but now you take pleasure in lifting up the name of Jesus at any cost. The Apostle Paul had that experience. And see, the thing about it is this right here. They said, well, how is it that Paul could go from being a persecutor of the church to now he's willing to die for the church, which we're going to see later on? You know how Paul could do it? In Acts, the second chapter. He said, Christ Jesus our Lord said, ye shall have power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The only way that you can be an effective witness for the Lord, the only way you can know that God is there for you, that you have his Holy Spirit on the inside. Now, this is what happens. When God comes into your life, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't kick and bang and knock. When you are possessed by demons, demons levitate you up off the ground. Demons make you say crazy things. Demons take control of your body. How many of you saw The Exorcist? Demons do crazy kind of things to you. But when Christ comes into your life, he remains a gentleman on the inside of you. He will tell you gently, talk to your classmate. Tell them about the Lord. Talk to people on your job. Tell them about the Lord. Talk to the people in your family. Tell them about God. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't force you. He doesn't throw you down on the floor. He doesn't beat you up and throw you up against the wall if you don't do it. He subtly and gently says, talk to this person. Tell them that God loves them. Tell them that Jesus died for their sins. That's what God does. God comes in gently like that. But that's when you receive the Spirit of God. That's the power he gives to you to be a witness to others and to share with others as who Christ is. The Apostle Paul received the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul became, okay, I'm going to do this thing for the Lord. I'm going to do this thing for Christ. Paul went and Paul began speaking and preaching, telling about the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord, telling that God could heal, God could deliver. And the people got so upset at Paul, they took Paul and started to beat him and almost beat him to death until the centurion of the guards came because there was an uproar in Jerusalem. They came and they saw that. The people fled from beating Paul. It was going to beat him to death. Paul was beaten. But Paul, when he was beaten so badly, when he recovered, Paul still continued to preach the gospel. They had Paul in bonds. They said, wait a minute, man, you're creating disturbance. We've got to throw you in prison, Paul. And Paul said, what have I done? What laws have I broken that I'm in jail? What things have I done for you to throw me in prison and put me in jail? But Paul said, even if you lock me up, I'm still going to preach the name of Jesus. It's why Paul was locked up in prison here in the 11th verse. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Here was Paul that was beaten. Here was Paul that was locked up in prison. And Jesus, instead of coming and saying, you know what, Paul? You've been through enough. You know what, Paul? I'm going to make things better for you. You know what, Paul? I'm going to make things right for you. He said, be of good cheer. Wait a minute, Lord. You don't understand. They beat me, Lord. You don't understand. They put me in prison. I haven't done anything wrong, God. And you're telling me to be of good cheer? And that's the same, God is same thing God is saying to you. You don't want to tell it on your job. You don't want to tell it in your family to your family members. You don't want to tell it in your schools. He's saying, be of good cheer. Let them come out against you. Let them say things about you. Let them ruin your name down. But understand this. I'm with you. I'm a God that cares for you. God knows what you're going through. And there are times we feel like, oh, I'm in this thing all by myself. But God, you don't understand what I'm going through. It's so bad and it's so terrible. And God is saying, I got your back. You're not in this thing by yourself. You're not in this thing all alone. And sometimes we feel that way. God, where are you, Lord? I'm going through this and I'm going through that. God, where are you? Where are you, God? I don't understand this thing. And see, this is what I'm trying to say about when you say that you're going to live for God. Let me tell you this right here. This little nugget need to catch hold of. The Bible says that you reap what you sow. The Apostle Paul persecuted the church. So now, guess what? Persecution is coming to him. Catch it. We think that when I give my life to the Lord God, everything is going to be Sunday. And Sabbath have no end. And it's going to be a bed of roses without realizing those things that you sow are going to come back to you. But the thing about it now is now God gives us the grace. God gives us the ability to go through what comes our way. If you ever told a lie, you ever believe this, somebody's going to tell a lie on you. Now, how many of you in here have had somebody tell a lie on you? Now, how many of you in here have lied on somebody?
Amen.
Amen. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Amen. It comes back to you. But now when it comes back to you, God gives you grace to go through it. God gives you grace to handle it. See, this is what the Bible tries to tell us, to instruct our children. Get close to the Lord. Get close to God. Because you better believe that the more things you go through as a sinner, there's going to come a day of, okay, now, how are you going to handle this thing when it comes your way? It's throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. Where Jacob. Jacob connived with his mother to trick Esau out of the birthright. Jacob got the birthright and fled for his life because brother Esau wanted to kill him. Take my birthright. I'm going to kill you, boy. Yeah. Jacob took off. Fled. They call his name Jacob, means one of the ways that is translated as trickster. That's what he was. But then guess what happened? Jacob fled. Saw this beautiful, good-looking lady named Rachel. And Jacob said, you know what, Rachel? I want to marry you. And the dad said, all right, you can have her. Jacob took the woman into the bride chamber that night and uncovered her face and found it was Leah and not Rachel. The trickster got tricked. That's what happens. Why we need to try to tell our children, get with the Lord, because the things you put out there come back to you. But the thing about it now, Jacob, by having God on his side, Jacob was able to handle what he couldn't handle when his brother was trying to kill him. Because when God is on your side, he shows you how to handle those things that you've sown in life. So this is why the Apostle Paul, they talk about killing Paul. Beat him almost to death. And you know what? You don't see anything Paul saying. But, you don't see what I'm going through, Lord. You know why Paul didn't say that? Because Paul had folks killed. Paul had folks put to death. And we must understand that the things we have sown in life. And that's why, the best thing you can do is parents. First thing, drop the illusion that your children are angels. Amen. The Bible said we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The Bible says that. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. You may not see it, but ask some of their friends. They see a whole lot that you don't see. They see a whole lot that you don't see. Drop the illusion about that. And understand this right here. That when that child is born, God gave you that child. Why did God give you that child? Those experiences you had in life. See, a lot of times we as parents, we don't want to share with our children what challenges we had in life to get to where we are in Christ. We want them to believe, you know what? I've been saved all day long. I've never messed up. We want them to believe that. But if the truth be told, we all have sinned. It comes short of the glory of God. And the reason why God gave us that child, because God said, you know what? There are things that I have experienced in life that God broke me through that I can now help this child with. Yes. That's why God gave me that child. Amen. And so we're trying to put the blinders on them. Well, I'm not going to say anything about my past life. That child, even though a child came out of me, so God to have some of the same thoughts and ideas I have, especially if I raise that child. And also, understand this too, is that God knows why he placed that child there. And so that child now is not divulging to the parent what they're doing out of the parent's eyesight. And the parent is not telling the child what I can do to help you. I noticed I don't know what I was like before I got married. So I tried to talk to my son. Because I knew what was there. And the thing that I'm trying to say is this right here. These things that come to our lives, it's not meant to destroy us as Christians, but it's meant to show us the grace of God. Yes. Catch what I'm saying? Here in the same chapter. The same Paul who Christ Jesus had just come to and told him, Paul, be of good cheer. In the next verse, it says a certain band of Jews that put themselves together under a curse, saying that they would die first before they let Paul live. They said their whole goal and ambition was to kill Paul. Because Paul was preaching the gospel, telling the gospel. And so you think, well, you know what? I don't want those bad things to come to me. I don't want nothing bad to happen to me. So that's why I keep my mouth shut. I don't talk to my friends. I don't talk to my family members. I don't speak on the job. Because I want to stay safe. I don't want anybody to think bad about me. I don't want anybody to ostracize me from the family. Catch this. It's going to come your way anyway. No, I can hide from it. You can't hide from it. You can't escape from it. Paul couldn't escape. And the thing Paul did, rather than withdrawing back and said, I'm going to stop preaching this gospel. Paul said, I'm going to come even bolder. Why? Because God had told me, be of good cheer, Paul. I'm with you, Paul. I'll take care of you, Paul. I'll watch over you, Paul. Be of good cheer. These men said, we're going to have an oath. We're going to kill Paul. I don't like how he keep going on spreading this gospel about Christ Jesus our Lord. Some folks are going to say to you, I don't like the way on the job. He's always talking about the Lord Jesus. That's what he said about me on my job. He's always talking about the Lord Jesus. In a campaign, he's talking about homosexual. Why is he always talking about that? Why is he talking about that? I don't care what folks say. Because I know what God has redeemed me from. I know what God has saved me from. And you think that I'm going to shut up because somebody tell me to shut up? Amen. When I know what God has done for me, when I know how he's blessed me, I'm going to be quiet because of men? You know something you've done. I mean, when we leave our church, everybody should be out shouting and telling somebody about the Lord Jesus. So they made this bond. I'm telling you about how good God is and the reason why God can tell you to be of good cheer. They went to the chief priests and the elders and told them, okay, we want to kill this Paul. I say, this is what you want you to do. I want you to tell Paul because, see, Paul, he was always willing to share with somebody about the Lord Jesus. They say, tell Paul to come here. Tell you want to have a conference with him and you want to learn. And you want to learn more about this person he's talking about. Tell him to come here and bring him here. So you want to learn more perfectly concerning him. And he said, when he comes to you, that's when we will kill him. But check this out in the 16th verse. And when Paul's sister's son heard the lying wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. See what I'm saying? When you give your life to the Lord and do what God asks of you, God watches over you to protect you. They didn't even know they had a spy amongst the spies. They didn't know. Paul's sister's son overheard what they were saying. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong talking about the Lord Jesus. And so you're trying to hide from the persecution. You're trying to hide from people talking about you. You're trying to be well liked by everybody. I'm going to tell you, it's no more than a setup. The enemy's trying to destroy you. But God is saying that if you're on my side, if you do what I tell you to do, I will cover you and protect you. They went and told it. Paul went and told the chief captain. The chief captain said, all right, we'll take care of you, Paul. We're having this situation for you. Those people that had desired to kill him couldn't touch him. That's the same thing that I'm saying to you. God cares for you. You may seem like, you know, Lord, me sharing the gospel, me telling others about the love of Jesus, oh, it's going to be hard in my job. My family members, they're not going to like me. They're going to turn their backs on me. My friends not going to want to hang with me anymore. Understand what God is trying to do for you. Understand that God loves you more than you realize. I thank God that God got rid of some of my friends in my life.
Amen.
I thank God some of the folks I hang with are no longer hang with me.
Amen.
I thank God that some family members say that boy go again. I thank God they see that because I know now when they talk about me, they talk about Jesus. Because it's hard for anybody to talk about Sylvester without talking about Jesus. So anytime they mention my name, they got to also mention the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, God cares for you. You must understand the care that God has for you. You must understand the love God has for you. The Bible says, though you go through the fire, though you go through the water, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor wise forsake you. God has given us a promise. He'll be there with us. God has given us a promise. And the thing about it is, do you believe it? Do you believe what God said? Do you believe he will keep you? Do you believe he will be there for you? Or do you believe you're out there all by yourself?
Paul
got the answer firsthand. Christ Jesus our Lord said he would never leave us, nor wise forsake us. God cares for you. And because you know God cares for you, that should make you bold to go out and do the things of God, things he's asked you to do. And that's why I'm so bold in some of the things I say and do for the Lord, because I realize God has shown me over and over again, Sylvester, I'm there for you. First time I went to India, they sent back word saying that we're going to put snakes and bombs in your services if you come in to try to preach the gospel. And so we had the crusade started up. And I told myself that if I die for the Lord, I die. I just wanted to be quick. I don't want to be a slow, agonizing death. But if that's what it is, that's what it is. And I went there and the first few nights we were there, people giving their lives to the Lord, Muslims, Hindus, giving their lives to the Lord, being saved, coming to the altar for salvation, rejoicing. Thank God, last night of the crusade, the police came out. And I saw them, and I got in the dick because now I'm hiding the spirit now. I've seen folks coming to the light, giving their lives to the Lord Jesus, all these things happen. So I'm really indignant now. What are they doing here? What are they doing now? Why are they out here? And the guy told me, Pastor Williams, they're not here because of you. And see what I felt, because I'd heard before, that a pastor went over to India. And the local people, when they came out, they were breaking their legs, breaking their arms. And the police simply stood and looked, didn't do one thing to help. And so I thought, okay, the same thing about to happen again now. Somebody about to come here and start something up, and they're going to just stand back and look and not do a thing to help. And the guy said, no, Pastor Williams. They're not here against us, but they're here for us. So because there's a rebel group right up the street from where we are, and they're trying to stop them from coming into the service. See, let me tell you something. The year before I went there, it was a missionary and his two sons that were in India feeding people, helping people out. They burnt the three of them alive in the car. you make up in your mind, God, you care for me. I don't care what they say. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what the family says. I don't care what they say on my job. God, I want to be obedient to you. They was just up the street from where we were having the crusades. They could have come easily where we were. But they had the police and the military out there protecting us. And if I had done like, when I went there, the host pastor told me, Pastor Williams, now, nobody should get upset with preaching the love of Jesus. So just preach the love of Jesus. As I thought about that thing, I said there are heretics in the United States of America that preach the love of Jesus but don't live for Jesus. I say, Lord, I'm going there to preach your word. I went there to India where they serve Hindu gods and goddesses. And I preached against idolatry. That's why the altar was so packed with folks giving their lives to the Lord, because I preached against what they were experiencing. That's why the altars were packed. But you know what? If I had listened, not listened to the voice of God, I believe that rogue group that was miles up the road from where we were would have come into the camp and tell who would have died or been killed. But when you are obedient to God, yes, it may not look like it's going your way right now. Yes, you may feel like things are not happening for you the way they should. Yes, you may think like, well, I've been through this before. But I'm here to tell you, hold on to God's hand, because God cares for you. He will never leave you nor will I forsake you. Know that God has a plan for your life. You may not see it now. You may not understand it now, but just hold on to the hands of God. Paul did that. Christ Jesus our Lord told Paul, said, not only must you testify me in Jerusalem, but you must also bear witness to me in Rome. And that's what Paul ended off. In Rome. People trying to kill him, but they couldn't stop the plan of God. And that's the same thing I'm saying to you. People want you to shut your mouth, not talk about the Lord Jesus. Open your mouth. Be a loud witness for the Lord. Tell others about the goodness of God. Don't let anybody stop you from sharing. And it may look like sometimes that, well, things aren't going your way. You may feel like, well, things are not happening without wanting them to happen. But know this, God has an expected end for your life. What is in the book of Jeremiah? I know the thoughts that I have for you. God knows what he wants you, where he wants you to be, what he wants you to do. But the only way you can realize the true destiny God has for your life is that you realize those oppositional things in your life, those friends in your life, those family members, those employees, those associates, they're all there because God has placed them there for you to be a witness to them. The Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say exclude the homes. He didn't say exclude the schools. He didn't say exclude your job. He said to all the world. And the reason we can do it, because we know that God cares for us. The Apostle Paul found it out through all he went through. And we too will kind of find it out that God cares for us. Let us stand.